This is episode 55 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Betsy Lewis's book, Abducted: True Stories of Humans Kidnapped by Aliens. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I have put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from chapter 4, which is called The Huens Abduction Case, and this is what Betsy has written. ET abductees Audrey Huens and her sister Debbie Huens have been abducted by grey and reptilian aliens since childhood. So I'm going to go on to one of their experiences. This is called Taken from Her Bedroom. And this is what Betsy has written. Audrey informed Marsden of another more recent encounter a short time after the above events. On this occasion, she suddenly found herself awake in her bedroom. In the middle of the night, she had a strange tingling sensation running through her body. A few moments later, she felt her muscles going into a strange spasm. Within moments, her entire body was paralyzed and she was unable to move. The only part of her body that she could move was her eyes. She would continue that her room was suddenly filled with a pale bluish light that announced the arrival of the reptilian entities. She recalled that the light shimmered and moved like a pool reflection on the ceiling. She forced herself to keep her eyes open so she could see her potential abductors. She continued that there was a tall iguana-like reptilian humanoid suddenly standing in the light with two smaller entities on each side of him. She further described this entity as wearing a black cape with almond-shaped black eyes and a ridge over his brow that was much like an iguana or Neanderthal might have. This creature appeared to give the two smaller entities instructions, which they duly carried out. As they approached, Audrey found that she could suddenly move, and she immediately reached out toward one of the creatures, grabbing it by its throat. As this was happening, she could hear several voices in her head, almost as if she could telepathically hear the strange creatures talking to each other. At one point, she heard one of the voices state that they should watch out for the mother. The struggle between her and her potential captors continued. She managed to temporarily free herself from their grasp and ran to her bedroom door. When she opened it, however, there were more of the smaller grey creatures standing in the hallway outside her room. Before she could contemplate anything else, a sudden burning sensation took over her body. Then she lost consciousness. And now on to the next experience. This is titled Floating in a Strange Fluid. The next thing she recalled was hovering in the centre of her room and passing through the mirror on a dresser. Before she knew what was happening, she was outside her house, floating in the air and looking up at the night sky. She could also see amber and blue lights coming from above her. And when she looked down, she noticed her home getting steadily smaller. Her next memory was of being inside the spacecraft in a strange room. Even worse, she was in some kind of cocoon-shaped device and surrounded by a strange, thick gel. Strangely, despite this gel surrounding her, she could still breathe with no difficulties. After several moments, she realized that she was floating in a viscous, pale, greenish-grey fluid in a room with around half a dozen other devices containing other people. She further noted how the room was seemingly round and contained three separate doorways. She continued to look around, noticing that there were many of the grey-skinned, bald creatures moving around the room and into the respective doorways. They appeared to be pushing hospital-like tables from one place to another, all of which appeared to contain people. It was at this point she realised a group of these strange creatures had noticed she was awake. Within moments, they had forced her to lose consciousness once more. On to the next experience. This is titled Further Experiments and Procedures. Her next memory is of waking up on a metal table in a large round room. She was completely naked and could see several different strange entities around her, as if she were in the presence of several different races of aliens, just one of whom was seemingly human-like, with blonde hair and blue eyes that appeared to be glowing. She also noticed the reptilian entity that often appeared in her room. After gathering her thoughts, she suddenly attempted to leap from the table and run for the doorway. However, she simply fell to the floor. Her next memory was of hovering around a foot from the ground. In front of her was a bizarre-looking creature that had a worm-like body and a parasite-type mouth. She would recall that she reached out for the creature, seemingly injuring it temporarily before it scurried off away from her. A moment later, she found herself floating up and positioned back on the table, laying her on her front. She then told Marsden how a big machine came down and attached to the back of her spine. She then noticed a burning sensation run up and down her back. She asked them what was the purpose of the machine, and she was told that they were altering or activating her DNA, which would lead to some kind of enlightenment. Before she could contemplate these strange happenings, she was suddenly turned around, so she lay on her back. Then things turned even more harrowing. A claw-like device came down from above and completely removed her eye. As it held her eyeball aloft, a needle-like device inserted something into her eye socket before replacing the eye in place. She recalled that she didn't feel any pain during this bizarre procedure, but that she did feel a strange fear. Her eye was irritated for days after. On to the next experience. This is called information lying dormant. Waiting to be activated from there, she was taken into a room that resembled some kind of strange classroom. She could see multiple desks, all lined up facing a strange chalkboard. In each of the desks was another person, facing forward. She was seated at one of the desks. She watched as a human-like person walked to the front of the room, seemingly a teacher, and addressed them. This teacher-like entity told them that everything they needed to know was lying dormant in them and would activate when needed in due time. According to Audrey's memory, she asked what the point of all of them learning this knowledge was, if none of them could remember it after their respective encounters. She was told that everything they needed was inside their mind and that it would be automatically activated when required. This is an interesting detail, suggesting that millions of people are being programmed in some way and that this programming will activate and become live at some later unknown date. This suggests a very purposeful and real end goal to these strange extraterrestrial encounters. The next thing she realized, she was waking up in her bedroom with no idea how she got there. To the best of her knowledge, the encounters continue still today. She did notice strange black, unmarked helicopters flying around her house regularly. This itself perhaps suggests that there could very well be some kind of behind-the-scenes, dark agency government organization that also plays a part in these strange affairs. And now on to the next section. This is titled, Further Suggestions of an Alien-Human Hybridization Program. The bizarre and sometimes harrowing encounters experienced by Audrey and Debbie are without a doubt some of the most intriguing on record, not least as they are twin sisters and have seemingly experienced a lifetime of alien abductions and, in turn, invasive and strange procedures and experiments. The fact that they are women should not be played down here. Many UFO alien abduction researchers have pointed out before that a larger proportion of alien abductees, particularly repeat abductees, are female. Furthermore, these abductions almost always begin in childhood and stop only once the respective woman has reached the stage in their life where they can no longer conceive. This would suggest that there is indeed an aspect of studying human reproduction. In my case, this is Betsy's case, I had two childhood UFO experiences in Idaho and believe that I was spared later abductions from their hybrid experiments because I began taking birth control pills at 19 after having my daughter. So this week I was reading from Betsy Lewis's book, Abducted, True Stories of Humans Kidnapped by Aliens. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFO Podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.